Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. Hey, today we've got an exciting new co-host for you guys. I've been listening to a very popular podcast for a long period of time now by the name of Fitness Confidential. Our co-host today is actually one of their co-hosts and a whole lot more. This gentleman has been, and I still don't even understand all of his backstory, but this guy has been connected with the Playboy organization. He's been connected in film, obviously a California resident. But he's also, even more excitingly, now recently, and we'll let him talk more about this, but heavily connected with the new company called Pure Vitamin Club, which I actually personally buy products from as well. And long story short, I just want to bring the man, the myth, the legend here, Andy Schreiber, onto the show today.
How you doing?
How you doing, Andy?
Super, thanks. How about you?
I'm beyond excited to bring your voice to our Live the Fuel audience because there's just been so much happening since I found you and Vinny Todorich and Anna Vaccino and your whole circle of influence from the Fitness Confidential podcast.
And yeah,
I think you've been like the unsung hero in the background to me. I don't know.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And now you're kind of like coming to the forefront. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's been an incredible ride. It's this is not something I anticipated happening at this point in my life, a few years ago, but here it is.
Well, I know. Let's think about this for a second. I mean, I gave you a very high-level overview intro because it's kind of cool, like, obviously being able to throw in the Playboy plug there. That's for some guys, that's exciting. And for some ladies, actually. Let's not count that out.
Yeah.
But clearly, you have a very eclectic and diverse history before coming to where you're at today.
I do.
So why don't we give for our listeners who've never even listened to the Fitness Confidential podcast, you guys are missing out. But let's give that a little bit of background for our listeners here today. Help them understand more about that kind of history and before you became connected with Vinny and now everything with Pure Vitamin Club.
All right. Well, the easiest way to go back rather than, you know, it all started on a little, you know, farm. None of that. I met Vinny Todorich, my partner in crime, the host of Fitness Confidential, the author of the book Fitness Confidential, the host of the radio show Fitness Confidential, all of that.
Yes, there's a radio show. Now.
Yeah, there's a radio show. It plays in the LA market, but it is actually available online. It's on KABC AM 790 here in Los Angeles. And it's different than the podcast. It's a call-in show, which is great.
I like that.
Anyway, I met Vinny 25 years ago, actually this very month. It's exactly our 25-year anniversary of being friends. I was working at Playboy Entertainment here in L.A. I was working in the and I had just started there in the international film and television sales division. And Vinny had just moved to L.A. from New Orleans, where he had a very successful practice as a trainer in the, you know, sort of the early days when, you know, somebody having a personal trainer was kind of a novel thing.
Sure.
But he also had a very successful radio program called Talking Fitness.
Yes, that's right. He was radio originally.
Yeah, he was originally radio. He had a very, very successful AM talk radio show in the New Orleans market. And he came to L.A. thinking, great, I have conquered, you know, the New Orleans market. I'm going to come out to L.A. and conquer that market. And then, you know, had the rude awakening of how competitive the LA market is. But he came out here and knew nobody, but he had a friend who said, you know, I have a friend, my friend, Ann, and you should look her up. You at least know somebody, you can go to lunch or something. And that was a woman who worked with me at Playboy. And he came in and started hanging out in our area. And he and I got to be friends. And it was one of those like instant connections where we got to be very good friends very quickly. And we've been friends ever since, really close. And, you know, over the course of the years, we have looked at a couple different business ideas together, and we could do another whole podcast on some of those.
I can imagine.
That, oh my God,
you guys have a very special relationship.
we do have a very special relationship. We're incredibly different, but we've just got this like perfect friendship where we just complement each other. But we tried probably half a dozen different businesses together, none of which went anywhere. but you know, we've stayed close. And and I stayed in the film distribution business. I was at Playboy for 10 years, just under, like 9.5. And after I left there, I stayed in that business and in a variety of different positions, and loved that. It was a great career. But then about 3 years ago, Vinny called me up one day and literally said, Ange, which is what he calls me. It's a sort of a hangover from the Andy Griffith Show, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Barney Fife used to call Andy Griffith, Ange. And so that's sort of a little artifact of our friendship. He calls me Ange. He says, Ange, we're going in the vitamin business. Like out of the blue. And I said, all right, you know, talk to me. And, Vinny had, back in 2007, Vinny was diagnosed with leukemia, which was like, you know, here's this incredibly fit, healthy guy whose whole life has been about fitness and health. And
helping hundreds of thousands of other people getting healthy and fit as well.
Yes, yes. And, I'll let him talk to you about this, when he comes on the show. But, you know, he had all of a sudden been having like these weird symptoms, like he'd be out on, a long distance bike ride in 100 degree heat and he'd feel cold. Like, what the hell? What's going on here?
Yeah.
So he finally, went in for some blood tests and came back with leukemia. And I actually, the woman who was his one of his doctors, is a very good friend of mine. I actually introduced, and very good friend of Vinny's as well. And she introduced the two of them. And she called me before, when she got the diagnosis from the lab. She called me up and she said, get over here. I'm just calling Vinny. He's out on a bike ride. And I told him to come here straight away. And I want the two of us to tell him together that he's got cancer.
Oh, so you were involved in that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've listened to almost every single episode. How am I missing that?
I don't know that we've ever talked about it on the podcast. But,
okay, maybe not. I mean, he obviously has mentioned how she obviously made the phone call, made him get the hell off of his bike and get in a freaking cab and all that conversation.
Right. But she called me first and said, get over here. Vinny has leukemia. We're telling him today. And I want you here, for support. So I raced over there to her house. And Vinny's first thought when he got there was, he saw my car and he thought, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. This is bad.
Oh, so that was your car. Oh, get out. All right, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't remember mentioning your name.
Yeah. So there I was, and she told him, we told him together that he had leukemia, and that really kind of spurred him on. He had always sort of thought about this anyway, about, there's so much stuff that we consume and put in our bodies without really thinking about what's in it, And he's always been a believer in taking some basic nutritional supplementation. But every time he looked at it, he thought, God, there's so much junk in this. There's just like, why are all these extra ingredients in here? And then, with the cancer, that became like an obsession, I can't find anything in the way of supplementation to keep myself healthy and make sure that I'm getting all the nutrition I need, above and beyond what you get from food, that doesn't have all this junk that frankly can, contribute to cancer, that contribute to autoimmune disorders and other health problems. And, thought about this. And then after a number of years, after the success of Fitness Confidential, the book and the podcast, and he'd started to develop a bit of a national following, he said, the time is right. Since I can't seem to find vitamins that don't have all the junk anywhere else, and I literally can't find them, anywhere on the market, I'm going to make them. So he called me up and he said, let's go in the vitamin business. Let's figure out a way to make vitamins that don't have all the junk.
Which said, apparently right. is a proprietary process, obviously, what you guys have had to pull off. Because since every other vitamin company is having to throw in additives to help the body supposedly expedite.
Here's the funny thing. The funny thing is they really don't have to.
Oh.
They don't. It's just, I don't want to say it wasn't hard because it was difficult to, you know, to work it out. But when we decided to do this, and we did a lot of research, and we figured out, you know, what the problems were with all the different additives that are put in, and why each one was bad, and how to do it without. And then, you know, I got on the phone with literally probably 40 factories that manufacture vitamins.
That's a lot of factories. You know,
yeah. I mean, all over the country. I mean, we weren't, you know, we didn't have the wherewithal to go and, you know, build a factory from the ground up.
So you guys, these were just U.S.-based?
Yeah, just U.S.-based. Because okay. That was one of the important things to us, too, was this had to be U.S.-based. We didn't want anything where we, you know, you lose the control that you lose when you go outside the country.
Okay, so it wasn't just from, like, a made-in-USA type manufacturing, marketing perspective. This was also like, man, we really could use some local control.
Well, you know, it was a number of things. Number one, quality control. You know, biggest thing, frankly, is quality control. You're not sure what you're getting if you're getting a product made, you know, in Mexico or in China or something. They don't have the same standards of cleanliness and quality control that we have. We, you know, we have a lot of regulations which some people might complain about, but there's a reason for them, and they do help ensure some quality. And so we that was very important to us that we manufacture inside the United States. So I talked to 40 different manufacturers. 38 of them said, what you're trying to do cannot be done. Just can't be done. I said, all right, thank you very much. I mean, I had even a couple of them like get mad at me.
For asking?
Why would you even think it can't be done? Okay. Found two manufacturers that said, yeah, we can do that. And one of them said, yeah, we can do that minimum run is 100,000 bottles.
Wow.
And we thought,
there's a launch plan.
Okay. Let's go back to the drawing board on that one. And then we went and we found another one that said, yeah, we can do that. Minimum run 1,000 bottles. We thought, oh,
that's weird. Okay. That's a very huge spectrum.
Yeah. We can work with 1,000 bottles. You know, because there's only limited capital to start a company. So we this was after a lot of research and not just in terms of how to manufacture it without, you know, the additives and the fillers and the flow agents and all the other crap that gets put in there. That's problem number one. Problem number two to solve is how do you get the right formula where you're not loading up with a lot of stuff that you're frankly just going to pee out because you're taking too much of this, not enough of that, you know, a bad, poorly absorbed version of that versus a better absorbed version. So we put a lot of thought into how to get the best combination of ingredients and do it without all those kind of foreign ingredients that just aren't necessary.
Well, and real quick on that, people have a choice, right? I mean, well, not people, I should say companies. You have a choice on where you're sourcing. There is good quality ingredients out there to source from.
Sure,
it's just, are you going to invest in that?
Well, that's just it. The good quality ingredients are more expensive.
Right.
It's that simple. And it's, you know, that's the same issue with manufacturing without the junk ingredients. The reason, there are a couple reasons for the junk ingredients. Number one, the biggest is it makes the manufacturing process cheaper.
Sure.
That simple. The two sort of major categories of junk that people understand that get put into nutritional supplements, whether you're talking about a vitamin or an herbal supplement or a mineral supplement or a joint support formula, whatever it is, you'll see the same handful of ingredients. If you look at a label on a bottle of supplements, you'll have, they'll almost all say supplement facts, right? And then it'll list all of the actual nutritional ingredients. If it's a multivitamin,
is
it'll
that
list,
facts yeah. really an accurate word?
Well, it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. You know, and that's where the FDA does step in and monitor to make sure that what you're putting on your label is accurate.
Now, I thought people said that the supplement industry is not regulated.
Well, it's not regulated in terms of what you're allowed to put in.
Okay.
But it is regulated in terms of being accurate in your labeling.
So the labeling is actually being – this is good to know. Okay.
The labeling should be, And you know, any reputable company, you know, gets tested regularly to make sure that what is on the label is actually what's in the product. So you'll see the supplement facts. And, you know, like if it's a multivitamin, you know, it'll list the vitamin A, the vitamin B, different vitamin Bs, the C, the D, with the amount of, you know, whether it's milligrams, micrograms, international units, whatever. It'll tell you that. If it's a good company, it'll tell you in what form it comes. So that's all listed under the supplement facts. Where it gets interesting is below that box, there's always something that says other ingredients. Those are the non-nutrient elements that are put in there that aren't about, you know, the product that you're actually buying. Those are the extra things that they throw in there.
Okay, so that other ingredients category is officially for that purpose only, correct?
Yeah, so okay. that's the stuff that's, if you're, you know, selling a calcium supplement, the calcium will be within the supplement facts, and below it is the other ingredients, whatever, that's not about what they're marketing to you. And that stuff, the two main categories, there are others too, but the two most, you know, the biggest categories are the fillers and the flow agents.
Which, like, for example, and I have no problem saying this name because they suck, Centrum.
Yeah.
Is a brick of crap.
Pill. It's a brick of crap.
Yeah.
It's a brick of crap.
Yeah.
Fillers are done because whether you're talking about a capsule or a tablet, because it's two different manufacturing processes, right? Either way, capsules come in certain sizes because the machinery, they just only produce and can handle certain set sizes. Same thing with tablets. Tablets have to go through into a mold. And they don't have an infinite range of sizes for the mold. So you have standard sizes. If the ingredients that you're putting in, the, you know, the multivitamin or the calcium or the vitamin D, whatever it is that's in that product, doesn't completely fill that capsule size or that tablet mold.
They backfill it?
They backfill it. With just a variety of different ingredients to just fill it up.
Is that what makes the Centrum vitamins orange?
that's another whole issue.
Oh, yeah.
That's another whole issue. But, you know, the things that they'll put in, you'll see a combination of things. You'll see either silica or silicon dioxide, which are both
sand, right?
It's basically sand. And, you know, we say sand, and we're being almost a little flippant. It's a little bit more refined than that, but it is basically a very refined version of sand.
Okay, so it's not like what you get on the edible beach. Sand? I mean, I don't know.
It is edible, you know, and there are even some sources that'll tell you that it is a nutrient, which is nonsense because it's been tested. It's been tested. It has zero nutritional value of its own. It actually, if anything, gums up your system and prevents absorption of other nutrients. Some people will tell you that it's actually a good nutrient, that it strengthens your nails and your bones. There is zero evidence to support
any of that. And I don't even need Pure Vitamin Club to tell me that. That's just literally BS because they're just trying to spin some marketing to justify the usage of that ingredient.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So that's one. They'll put in talc. Literally talk, like you would
like
put
talc
on
powder? You know, powder,
like talcum powder. You'll see that talc because it's kind of an inert substance. It's not like literally poisonous. It's not going to cause tremendous harm, but there's no reason for it. They'll put in, like, you know, rice flour. They're just basically filling it up with junk.
They can meet the requirements of the molding.
So it'll fill up the damn tablet mold or the capsule.
So this is, so, I mean, hold on. Let me ask you here. Do you think these other vitamin companies have given in to the manufacturer's requirements? Do you think they started off with a pure mindset like you or no?
No, I think that look, if you're talking about the big manufacturers, they have their own factories.
Okay.
You know,
a
Centrum or New Balance, some of these big companies, they're not, you know, contracting with a factory like we are. They spend the millions of dollars to buy their own machinery and run their own machines. So that's category number one is the fillers. Category number two is what they call the flow agents. The fancy word for that is an excipient. And what that is, if you can picture if you're doing a multivitamin and you're adding the A and the different Bs and the C and the D and all that, and you're putting it in a big vat and mixing it up, right?
Sure.
And then it has to go through some machinery to get into the capsules or the tablet modes. It has to go through, you know, some tubes and all that.
It's probably like a pressurized tubing process or something.
Yeah, it's almost like those, you know, cartoons of stuff going through all the tubes and into the beakers and things. And then, you know, the little spinning things, and it has all the capsules and it fills it up and it tops it off. And,
okay.
But they use these other things, these flow agents, as literally like a dry lubricant to keep the ingredients from sticking to itself and sticking to the machinery.
So again, a supposed manufacturer requirement, or just because of their machinery?
It just means that they don't have to have as many people watching it, that, you know, to make sure that nothing is sticking. It makes the process cheaper.
For automation.
It's okay. All about automation, making it go faster and cheaper. That's what it's about.
Okay.
Completely unnecessary unless you want to save a little money.
So I'm a quotes guy and I love history and I love the whole, obviously, Henry Ford and his invention of assembly lines and obviously improving and optimizing business, which is amazing, but this is an unfortunate side effect.
But at what expense?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if in order to accomplish that, you have to put in ingredients that are A, unnecessary, that you shouldn't be taking into your body, and that B, actually may have some adverse effects on your health. You know, one of the most common flow agents is something called magnesium stearate, which has a variety of adverse health effects. And you'll see it as, they'll try to advertise it as vegetable magnesium stearate. It's all vegetable. None of it is animal based. Or stearic acid. They'll put, you know, kind of try to make it sound not so bad.
Right. I know you guys have, in your marketing, have been very, very adamant about making sure that that is not in your magnesium supplement. So, or your magnesium caps.
No, because, you know, people get confused. Magnesium, just because it has the name magnesium in it, but magnesium stearate is a fairly toxic substance that is put in as a flow agent. It's got no nutritional value whatsoever.
Really? Okay. So all these other magnesium supplements, they're trying to make it look like, hey man, we threw in some more magnesium for you, but in reality, that was just there as a flow agent.
Well, you'll never see magnesium stearate in the box of the main ingredients. Nobody's ever going to try to get away with that.
Okay.
You know, they'll put magnesium oxide, magnesium citrate. They'll put all the sort of nutritional versions of magnesium. Magnesium stearate is clearly not a nutrient. It is a flow agent, pure and simple. So you'll never see it inside the box. Nobody's that dishonest that they'll try to get away with that. But they'll put it down there and pass it off as, you know, well, they're not passing it off. It is what it is. It's a flow agent.
You're just blowing my mind right now, because I'm like, how long did it take you to start figuring all this stuff out coming from your other professional history? And,
you know,
now you're basically a vitamin geek.
I'm a vitamin geek now. It's true.
That's good, though.
It took a while. You know, it took a lot of research and a lot of discussions with professionals and chemists. And, you know, I didn't know any of this stuff, so I had to find it out. We had to find out, why is it that these vitamins are full of this crap? You know, and is it so bad? Maybe we're wrong, and maybe there isn't a problem with having all this stuff. We found out that there is a problem, and you shouldn't have it. And this, you know, this is the tip of the iceberg. The colorants, you know, this gets to why stuff is orange. You asked that question.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You're gonna love this. And there are two issues here. There, the color of the pills, and then there's, you know, anybody who's taken vitamins knows that if you take some of them and you take too many, all of a sudden, you know, your pee looks like something.
It's glowing.
You know, it's glowing. It looks like you know, that thing in the opening of The Simpsons where Homer
the toxic
has
waste.
The little glowing ingot, you know, of radioactive.
The nuclear waste.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what your pee looks like.
So that's not mineral related. That's not vitamin or mineral related.
Well, there are two issues here. The issue of the color of the pills themselves. Something that companies do. And they don't all do this, but a lot of them do. You'll see an ingredient, and this is the one ingredient I'll stress more than anything else, that a lot of supplement manufacturers use, that's the biggest sin of all. It's something called titanium dioxide.
Yes.
Titanium dioxide is a mineral whitener. I said that like Stewie. Cool Whip. Remember that
yep. bit?
Cool Whip. Why are you saying it like that? Cool Whip. A mineral whitener. They use it to make paint really, really white. When you get really white paint, it's because they put titanium dioxide.
Well, not, antique white or more gray. You're talking about that really, really that bright,
really bright white. White. Yeah. That's you get that with titanium dioxide. Sunscreen has titanium dioxide.
Yes.
It's a mineral whitener. It pulls the color out.
But isn't that also because they talk about all these organic lotions and sunblock and everything else now? Because is that supposedly related to cancer or no?
Well, it can be, and there are other things involved there.
Still research out on that one.
Titanium dioxide, it falls in the category of what they call a nanoparticle because the particles are so tiny that comprise it. But what they use it for in supplements. It is so flippin' stupid. They use it to bleach the color out of the minerals that are in there, or the other ingredients.
But then they're re-dyeing them.
And then when you see titanium dioxide, you'll almost invariably see some sort of an artificial color, like Krauss caramelose sodium, which is a caramel color. You'll see something like that, because that means that somebody in a marketing department said, you know what, this is going to sell well if it's exactly this shade of orange or tan or whatever. So they bleach the color out so that they can color it to what they think is going to sell best. It's the most insane thing.
I get it because I'm a marketing guy. I mean, they all talk about, right, excellent packaging and
excellent
your marketing materials. But
that's
like
what your product looks like.
Not when it's going into your body.
But no. And it is there was a study done on titanium dioxide, which has terrible effects on your system. And there was a study done because it particularly affects your colon. They did a study on, it wasn't a huge study, so I don't know, I don't want to claim this is like completely conclusive, but it's enough of an indication to give you an idea. There was a study done where they looked at the colons of people who had died of colon disease. And something very close to 100% of the colons of people who had died of colon disease had evidence of titanium dioxide or other nanoparticles in the colon. And the control group was the colons of people who had died from other things other than colon disease, who had no colon disease but had died from something else. And something like less than 10% of them had any evidence of these nanoparticles in their colons. I mean, so the correlation, and anybody who knows a little bit of science, it's very different to say causation versus correlation, and you have to be very careful how you say that. But there is a correlation between the presence of nanoparticles in your system and colon disease, everywhere from Crohn's disease to colon cancer. And there's no reason for it. I don't know anybody that would actually take a vitamin and say, I don't know, I was going to take this vitamin, but I don't like this color.
I was going to say, if there's questionable ingredients, just don't even bother.
Don't do it. Don't do it. There's just no reason. So when, when you look at the ingredients on our products, under that other ingredients below the supplement facts, it's just the capsule, the vegetarian capsule, which is made from a vegetable-based gelatin. That's
yes,
it.
And I agree. I prefer, I always tell people, like, listen, let's just look at how it's packaged. I mean, if you're not going to take Pure Vitamin Club, at least make sure it's not a pill. Like, for years, I've always said, listen, if you can get away from the pills and at least be using something that's in a, like you just said, a vegetable casing or something like that, okay, you're at least moving in the right direction.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is tablets versus capsules, just from a logistical standpoint, and then I'll get to this because we're actually about to come out with our first tablet, but we've done it in a revolutionary way.
Ooh.
Most tablets, in order to get, look, if you're doing a capsule, you've got a container for the ingredients. You've got this vegetable gelatin capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody uses a vegetable. Some people use an actual gelatin capsule, which is made from from animal bones.
Okay.
We use a vegetable version.
And is that just, again, for marketing? So you're making the vegetarians or the vegans happy as well, or?
Yeah, well,
you want to respect that market too.
We want to respect, and it's actually a cleaner product to use a vegetable base than one from bones. Although, you know, we have nothing against meat based products, but for vegetarians, it's just a little bit cleaner.
Okay.
But you can fill that capsule with anything you want. You know, it's a little bit easier to do that. When you have a tablet, something has to, when you put all that, you know, kind of those dry ingredients, something has to hold it together, or it's just going to be a pile of powder.
So we're talking about a binding agent.
So you've got binding agents, and very often, you know, unless you want it to be kind of dull on the outside, they'll put a glaze on the outside to make sure that they're not kind of nice and shiny, you know? So there are other things that you have to do there. And then, you know, if you do a binder that holds it together, then maybe you need a disintegrant so that it doesn't, you know, to help break it down once you get into your system. So you've got to bind it and then disintegrate it. So now it's
Once your body has broken through the binding coating, we threw in something to help keep the process going.
Right.
Okay. Wow.
So tablets for the most part are not as good a choice as capsules. But we actually are about to come out with, in probably February, our first tablet. And I don't know that we'll do any other tablets, but this one we're doing because it's the best way to deliver this particular product to the bloodstream, which is vitamin B12.
I was going to say, I've been hearing, I've been waiting. I knew you guys are working on a B12 project, so
yeah.
I figured that's what it was
for. Is a very, can be for a lot of people very difficult to assimilate into the body. And when it goes into your digestive tract, which, you know, if you're swallowing a capsule, it's you know, dissolving in your stomach. B12 in particular has a hard time being absorbed that way. So the best way to absorb it is with a sublingual tablet that dissolves under your tongue. It gets in through your salivary glands and it absorbs very quickly into the bloodstream that way.
Oh, so they recommend a faster absorption versus later on in your digestive tract.
Right.
So, okay, so it's basically, you really want to break down right away orally.
Right.
Wow.
You want to stick it under your tongue and have it dissolve and go right through the salivary glands and into your system that way.
So if this launches, you're literally, I guess, selling it with instructions. Because most people aren't used to doing that other than those, I remember those Listerine little pieces of paper that you put on your tongue.
Right. You put on your tongue. You know, yeah, I think, you know, some people are used to a sublingual tablet. We're certainly not the first company to come out with a sublingual tablet.
Okay.
We are the first company to come out with one that, without getting too technical, the amount of actual vitamin B12 that goes, even if you're at a really high dose, and we're doing two different versions, one at kind of a medium dose and one at a high dose. Even at the high dose, you know, vitamin B12 gets measured in micrograms. So you can imagine how small that is. Even at the high dose, which will be 5,000 micrograms, which is a lot, it's a big dose. It's like a dot, you know, it's a small amount of material. So you have to have some sort of a carrier for that.
Okay.
Right. So when you have that tablet, even if it's a tiny little tablet, most of that is some sort of carrier, and that's where virtually everything on the market is. They use a carrier that is some sort of junk that you really don't want, and again, has to be bound with something so that it stays together.
Okay.
So they either use, you'll find two different ingredients that people use for the base ingredient. You'll find microcrystalline cellulose, which not all cellulose is microcrystalline cellulose, but microcrystalline cellulose is a specific ingredient. You know what it is?
Cellulose? No, I don't.
Microcrystalline cellulose particularly.
Oh, so this is definitely the traditional cellulose. Okay.
Yeah. Well, cellulose is a category. This is, you know, one specific thing. Microcrystalline cellulose is wood pulp.
Okay. I mean, I knew it was a I knew it came from a fibrous family, but
yeah. It's
okay.
Wood pulp.
Wow.
Is it poisonous? No. Is it something you really want to put in your body? Not. You know, I don't want to be, you know, it's like, you know, imagine eating sawdust that's just been ground up fine.
Well, I mean, quick weird side note, I mean, when I left the corporate world, 2010 and 2011, I came out west and served as a hotshot doing wildland firefighting all over the West, including in California.
That's exciting.
So I know for a fact I served as a sawyer. Basically, the first guys who went in on a hotshot crew were wielding the chainsaws. And in the wilderness, you do that 16 hours a day. I'm sure I ingested some sawdust along the way.
I'm sure you did. No doubt.
But now, I'm not really going to look forward to consuming that traditionally.
Oh. The other thing that people use is lactose, which is a, you know, that's better probably. But if you're a vegan, you can't take that. That's a milk product.
That comes from a cow. Depending on.
So you don't want to take lactose.
And there's people who have.
Vegans, more than anybody, need B12.
Interesting.
Because
they're deficient.
B12 does not occur naturally in any plant product. So if you're a vegan, you have to supplement.
But
B12 only occurs in animal products or in like the dirt or fungus you'll find on dirty vegetables. So once you clean your vegetables, there is no vegetable or fruit plant-based product that has vitamin B12 in it.
Well, now that also depends on what the soil of the quality of where those vegetables are even coming from anymore also, right? Which is why we're trying to push right now for better soil, right?
Doesn't even depend on the soil it's grown in. It just doesn't exist in plant products.
Okay.
Some people, you know, if you eat cereal, you know, you'll always see like fortified, you know, if you eat like your cornflakes or anything, a lot of those are fortified. So you'll find B12 in those products, but that's processed foods.
Yeah. I haven't eaten cereal over 10 years.
Yeah.
It's not food.
It's not food. It's processed junk. So if you're not eating anything processed that the manufacturers are putting B12 into and you're a vegan, you're not getting B12 unless you're supplementing. So you can't take lactose because that's not, if you're being really strict, that's not vegan. And if you don't want to take microcrystalline cellulose or wood pulp, you know, what are you going to do? So we were able to come up with a formula that uses, and I can't announce it yet, but it uses a nutrient. It's the base material is something that you would find inside that box as an actual nutrient that you would take, a mineral.
Oh.
It's a mineral.
So it's naturally occurring.
It's a naturally occurring mineral that you would take for your health anyway. It's something that, you know, you would buy and you would see on the label, I want to take this mineral.
Now, was this already something that was known, or did you need your, I guess, researchers to discover if this would work? Like, was this already being used by somebody?
Nobody else was using this.
Oh.
They were using it for, other supplements that were about this mineral, but nobody was using this as a base material for B12. So in our research, I found that we can that this particular mineral is compressible. It will hold together in a tablet on its own, even if you add the vitamin B12, the methyl cobalamin, and that's another whole story about which version of B12, methyl cobalamin versus cyanocobalamin.
Right.
It will hold that. And then the other thing that people do, because if they're doing a sublingual tablet, they're very concerned about what it tastes like because it's sitting in your mouth. You're not just, you know, swallowing it. It's going to dissolve in your mouth, so it's going to leave some sort of a taste.
Sure. And obviously most vitamin companies will probably add some level of sugar to make it palatable.
They're going to add some sort of a sweetener. And because
and for
it's
our
so
listeners,
small,
you're a fellow supporter of NSNG, no sugars, no grains.
No sugar, no grains, which means no artificial sweeteners too. So what you'll find in most sublingual tablets is usually an artificial sweetener because they can be so many more times sweeter. You know, you need less of it. So they'll use, you know, anything from a sorbitol to an erythritol to, you know, some sort of a saccharide.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about erythritol.
And they will put some kind of an artificial flavoring in it too. They'll, you know, give you a little cherry flavor or a little something.
Yeah, like they do with cough drops and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, something to make it a little more palatable. So we came up with a formula that uses a mineral as the base that is a product you would want to consume anyway with the B12, and we're flavoring it with pure peppermint powder, which is basically...
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's dried peppermint leaves that have been ground into a powder.
But think about it this
way. There's
nothing artificial in it. How many other... I don't think... When I think of B vitamins, unfortunately... You're probably going to expect them to taste like oranges, right? usually? I mean, I don't know. For
yeah,
me,
orange
I've,
or
I've seen them come
something.
Across some fruit something. Some fruit something.
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
So, you know, our challenge was, how do we make this palatable? We don't want people, you know, to go bleh.
No.
When they take this thing. But we wanted it to be a completely natural. We didn't want to use anything artificial. And this was one of the few flavorants that is a completely natural product. If you take peppermint leaves, you dry them, and you crush them into a powder, there's nothing artificial here, nothing offensive.
That's
completely
awesome.
Yeah. So this is revolutionary. Nobody's ever done anything remotely like this before.
I guarantee you, I've been around, I'm a huge health and fitness and wellness junkie. I mean, I even have my own nutrition business on the side, and I work with, you know, a company called Isagenics, but I still recommend your vitamins, even though we have our own vitamins, because of just the freaking level of detail that you guys have gone to and just how simple and literally pure they are.
That's what's been so interesting. It's not that complicated to do it right. You just have to care enough to do it.
Well, and the other thing is, the other reason why I actually decided to start, quick backstory on this. I bought them from my girlfriend because her sleep habits are terrible. She's a equine doctor, a veterinary. And she's also a chiropractic doctor for animals. And because of years being a doctor's vet, she's on call. So her sleep sure. habits are terrible because she's, I guess, programmed herself to never really reach deep sleep because she thinks she's got to be awake for the phone calls. I don't know.
Right.
So I've been doing blacking out the bedroom, trying to improve the sleeping conditions, getting rid of sound, getting rid of blue light, you know, getting all the filters for the technology, all that. But then obviously the magnesium I know helps people sleep.
Magnesium is a natural relaxant. It does help sleep.
So the one downfall, not to rip on you guys, is that she hates pills and she could not swallow the capsules. Like, she's got a complete issue with that. So I was like, well, I already spent the money, so I'm going to start taking them. And now I've been taking them for like 4 months. So I'm completely hooked on them. Actually, probably over 4 months now.
Has she tried opening the capsules and putting them in water or tea?
Oh, I didn't know we could do that.
Oh, absolutely, because they have almost no taste whatsoever, and because there's no junk in them, they dissolve really completely.
Why didn't I tweet this question to you?
I don't know. If you're putting sand in there, if you're putting the silicon dioxide or silica, that's never going to completely dissolve, because sand doesn't dissolve.
Right.
Magnesium will dissolve completely, and the only flavor is just a very, very slight kind of citrusy, because it has a tiny little bit. It's actually the smallest element.
Oh, she's fine with that. I mean, if anything, she doesn't listen to me on the NSNG lifestyle, so she still drinks like fruit juices and stuff like that. So,
right.
baby steps.
We use four different types of magnesium in our formula, and one of them, which is actually the least of the four in there, is magnesium citrate, which, because it's citrate, so it's got it tastes a little citrusy.
Okay.
But very, very mild. It has like almost no flavor, just very, very slight citrus. And you can dissolve it in water, in tea, in any other liquid. You won't even know it's there, and you'll get the full benefit.
I will do that tonight. I mean, I will purposely taste it first so I can describe it to her. And then even if she's some reason super weird, I'll just make a tea for her. I don't care.
She won't taste it at all. It's so easy. And you just open it up and dump it in. It dissolves really quickly because there's nothing in there other than the magnesium.
That's awesome.
The other thing that some people have trouble with magnesium supplements is that they can give them, I'm trying to think of a delicate way to put this. It has a laxative effect.
Yes. If you take too much.
Well, if you take too much, and depending on what type of magnesium citrate is the one that has a really strong laxative effect.
It's like a diuretic effect.
Diuretic, because that makes you pee more, but it's a laxative effect.
Okay.
And magnesium citrate is the one that does it. Matter of fact, if you are having a colonoscopy and you have to clean yourself out before that, they'll give you a solution of magnesium citrate to take, which will clean you out.
Sounds like it.
Our formula has very little magnesium citrate. It's mostly magnesium glycinate, some magnesium carbonate, some magnesium taurate, which is great for regulating your heart rhythm, and a little bit of magnesium citrate. So people don't get the laxative effect too much. Some people, you know, if they need that, if they, you know, have constipation, it'll help just enough. But somebody without constipation problems is not going to have, like, you know, issues if they take our formula.
Well, so now we got to win on the magnesium now. Can I take the same best practice and apply it to the daily multi-cap for her, or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. It'll dissolve too. And same thing, because it's got a little vitamin C in there. It'll have a slightly citrusy taste, and that's it. And it'll dissolve completely. That one will turn a little bit orangey.
Yeah, well, I mean, the color of the pill too. Like, your magnesium is white, and the multi-cap's got like not a yellowish color. I'd say like a tan.
No, kind of a tan.
Yeah. But obviously you have different minerals in there, so...
Yeah, that's got all kinds of things in there. That's got 11 key minerals and 13 essential vitamins. But that one will have a slightly orangey look to it, but that's not from any artificial colors. And it's also not going to turn your pee neon yellow.
Well, and this is huge for me, because I'm glad I'm asking these questions, and I'm glad you're putting this out, because it drives me nuts. I mean, I can only win one battle at a time. But she takes these gummy vitamins in a
that's candy. It's candy.
She's like, well, I enjoy them. I'm like, of course you do. They're laced with sugar.
It's candy.
I know.
Sure.
Welcome to my world. I am Mr. Health Nut. Like, I do everything. I'm like, I'm one of those guys who likes to follow from time to time the crazy Dave Asprey from the Bulletproof world and all that stuff, and the biohacking. Like, I get into it. I geek out on this stuff. That's why I wanted to get you guys on, because I love your products. You guys kept
it freaking simple.
It's not rocket science, people.
No,
It was for you a little bit, because you had to do all the research.
Well, it was, you know, but in the most fun way. I mean, I have to say, for as much work as it was to do all the research and to work with the chemists and to get the formulas right and to do the whole thing right was so much fun. And, you know, I was doing all of this, and I know we talked before we got on about what we were going to get into.
Yeah.
Until fairly recently, you know, because we started our company on a shoestring, and, you know, Vinny and I made an agreement with ourselves in terms of how we would compensate ourselves from the proceeds of the company so that we, you know, can continue to grow it without bleeding it dry. Yes. We weren't in this to line our pockets from the start.
And from an entrepreneurial business perspective, very, very smart, right? You got to be very careful with your operating capital.
Very, very careful. We wanted to make sure that, you know, there was a very modest investment in the company from the start, but we wanted to make sure that once that investment was in there, that we weren't, you know, dipping back into the well, and we weren't borrowing money. We weren't going to banks. We weren't doing anything to put the health and future of the company at risk.
So stay completely self-funded.
Self-funded. And I have to say, from day one, from that minimal investment, we have never had to tap anything outside of that. We have never had to borrow a dime. We have been self-sustaining. We've been growing month by month by month.
Yeah, and you're not 100% dependent on places like, I know you're on Amazon, but you're not 100% dependent on that. I'm one of your Pure Vitamin Club members, because I do the auto shipping thing, because I'm already used to the auto shipping thing from the Isogenics world and everything else. It's just, for my life, I travel so much, it's just a no-brainer.
And we do that not as a way of trapping people, but as a matter of convenience. We actually make it very simple for people to suspend for a while or to cancel and come back. It's really about convenience. But no, 80 to 85% of our business is on our own website. We're not at retail at all, other than, you know, we have a handful of independent pharmacies and chiropractor offices that have come to us and said, can we buy, you know, 20 units?
And I can tell you, as somebody who's been using products from a successful and a quality focused network marketing company like Isogenics, for example, since 2010, when I found them when I was firefighting, like, it's, that's the point, is like, you don't need to invest in retail, because it costs so much to do that.
It's a killer. Yeah. You know, you're giving up 40 to 60% of your margin, number one. And, you know, people always ask us, you know, why don't you go to Costco? Why don't you go to Target?
Costco, Walmart, they bleed you dry.
Here's what would happen. So anybody that wants to be entrepreneurial about something like this, here's what would happen. If we went to Costco and we were even able to get in there, because you know they've got their own suppliers and it's tough to get in. If we got in, they would say, "Great, we love your product, we want to take it. We'll start with a minimum order of 100,000 units on consignment. We'll pay you, we want a 60% discount or anywhere from 40 to 60% discount off the retail price.
Of course.
We're going to take it on consignment, and it is a 100% return policy. So if we order the 100,000 units and after 6 months, we've only sold 10,000, you're getting 90,000 units back."
Yeah. So now you've just done a huge upfront investment to land that contract with a huge
Not to say
you don't believe in yourselves and you'll be successful, but you do have a huge risk.
And
I'm just saying,
it's a huge risk. And then, on top of that, we want X amount of dollars in co-op advertising. You know, when you get in your mail and you've got the circulars from Target or Walmart or whatever, you got to front that. You got to pay other additional money to get the shelf space and to get signage at the store. So you're investing tens of thousands of dollars for the co-op advertising and the shelf placement. You're giving up 40 to 60% of your margin, and you're manufacturing tens of thousands of units with no guarantee that you're going to ever actually sell those through. So it's for a small company like ours, you're selling your soul. And companies that do that say, "Oh, we're so excited. We got into Costco. We got into Walmart." And then 6 months later, they're completely bankrupt and out of business.
Because all they see is brand awareness. But it's like, again, I can't tell you how many times I've read about companies who have chased the Walmart dream. And I'm like, what kind of dream is that? Because basically, you are now Walmart's bitch. I mean, basically.
Right. Yeah. So no, you are absolutely Walmart's bitch.
Yeah.
And 95 out of 100 of those companies are going to fail because they can't compete with either the Centrums or those, or the manufacturers that do what we call white labeling, which means there's some factory there that's manufacturing product, say it's a multivitamin, by the millions.
Oh, yeah.
And 20 different labels, the Kirkland brand that you have on Costco, and the other kind of label of this company that has their own brand.
It's all shared mass produced.
It's all the same. It's mass produced. It's exactly the same formula. What they call white label. It means they take the exact same formula, they put their own label on it, claim it as their own.
Well, listen, I've got friends that are chiropractors and other types of all natural wellness practitioners. And I hate to tell them, I'm like, "Listen, I'll never buy the products that are on your shelf. Like, these guys have
all white label.
I have my own vitamin. I have my own skin line." I'm like, "No, you don't."
No, you don't. You're white labeling.
Yeah.
We know that. And we don't do that. We will not white label our own product, and we won't let anybody else white label ours. That's like a cardinal rule number one of Vinny and Andy: no white labeling ever.
Good, because you have a pure vitamin. You have to protect the purity of your brand.
That's our product. Nobody else is going to sell our product under any other label than ours.
Oh, are you going to patent what you're doing with the B12? It sounds like that's patentable.
You know, we're looking at that's the patent process is
it's a
really
pain in the
hard.
Ass, but
it is really hard. We have signed with our manufacturing partner an exclusivity, so they can't
share the patent with them.
Anybody else that they're manufacturing for, they cannot use our formulas because we develop those.
Okay,
and then we say, you have the machinery, manufacture our formula, and we have an agreement with them where nobody else that does that they work with can use our formula.
Well, and again, God bless America. I do love the USA. Smart move by picking a US factory, because again, I know this isn't the only industry that you guys have made a smart decision on. There's other industries that are realizing, "Hey man, I could go to China and they can say, 'Oh, we'll protect your product design, blah, blah, blah.'" No, they're not. They will copy it as soon as possible.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah. Or at least here we have laws. So we can protect
that. It's just the Wild West if you try to do that. We're looking now at selling into China with our product, but it's going to be our U.S.-made product that we're selling into China.
That's going to be amazing.
Not the other way around.
I love that.
Not the other way around.
Because that's U.S. product now being sold into China versus us buying. No offense on China. Just saying.
Right. No, not at all.
Yeah.
But we know how to control the quality of what we do, and we do not have the confidence that we can control that if we're dealing with a manufacturer outside of this country.
And I can tell you, I think we launched in China last year or the year before, Isagenix, and they said they're craving health over there. They know that their country sucks, like as far as nutrition and health and everything else, which is funny because if you go back, if you study history, they're once one of the healthiest, countries on the planet. But unfortunately, they've been giving in and following the Western ways, us, and we don't set a great example.
That's right.
But now you guys are going to be able to help at least bring one small percentage of what we're doing right here to their country.
That's right.
That's going to be amazing.
And we're going into Europe as of probably February.
The UK trip went well then.
We're going back. Vinny and I are going. This is a long story, but it's setting up a bank account as foreign owners of a UK business, which we now have our business registered in the UK, Pure Vitamin Club UK Limited. It's registered with the government there. Setting up a bank account as U.S. owners of a UK company is complicated. So we're actually flying to the UK, flying to London next week, Vinny and I, for the express purpose of going for one appointment at Barclays Bank to open our bank account.
That's going to be kind of fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the craziest thing. We cannot do it online. We cannot do it on the phone. We have
but
to
there's
show
Barclay
up in
over
person.
Here.
Doesn't matter. We have to show up in London with an appointment in advance, with all of our paperwork, with our various documentation, showing our UK company and our the other pieces of business there, and we will a week from what's today, Tuesday, week from tomorrow, we are opening our bank account so that by February we will be up with purevitaminclub.co.uk that will service all of Europe with our product.
I was going to say, you basically have to launch a separate web portal, correct?
Yeah, it's going to basically be pretty much the same as the Pure Vitamin Club US site, which is changing anyway. We're updating that and making it better. But it'll be the same.
I spent a few years in the IT world, and actually I have his company listed on my resources where you guys are listed now on my resources on my website, but you guys should check out my IT guy, Singularis IT. He's a hosting solutions company. Oh my God.
We will.
He's the guy. He will security assess everything you guys are doing. And the best part is he doesn't charge for bandwidth. I don't know how he does it. I think I need to figure out how to get a podcast world implemented on his systems.
That's pretty impressive.
I don't know how he does it. He's this ridiculous guru genius guy.
That's amazing.
I just aired him on my podcast, but I'm like, anybody I know who's doing anything online needs to at least talk to him and have him at least consult and assess, because he's a freaking genius. So
that's amazing. Yeah. And I'm always impressed with people who start businesses and do something unusual and offer a service that nobody else can do exactly. That's what we've tried to do.
He's doing what you've done to the vitamin world right now, like literally flipped it on its ear, so to speak. But he's doing that with the hosting world because he's tired of seeing. He basically was using lots of different hosts. One who I used to work with. That's how I know him. I was his sales rep many years ago. And he finally got tired of everybody doing it the wrong way. And he said, no, I want to build a platform that helps businesses grow and actually builds them for what they're using for and doesn't overbill them. And like I said, you guys will definitely have to. I'll have to send an intro email for you both. And you can,
yeah, please do.
You can chat with him personally.
That to me is what business is all about in entrepreneurialism. It's recognizing that there is a gap in the market, that there is a service or a product that nobody else is providing, and saying, we can do that. And just figuring it out.
And to be honest, aren't we taking this back to the old school? I mean, this is the way business was originally, the purity of business and what built this amazing country and entrepreneurship. Like, that's what it was all supposed to be all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Recognize that there is a need here, and being just kind of fearless and saying, I don't know how to do that, but I will. But I will. I haven't got a clue, but I will figure it out.
Well, you clearly have way more of a clue than you used to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, we have made countless mistakes along the way, and we'll probably continue, and that's okay because we learn from every last one, and we get better, and we change, and we improve, and as long as our intent is pure and our work ethic is strong and our commitment to the integrity of what we're doing is strong, you know, if we make some mistakes in how we do it, that's okay. We'll get there.
The most important part is that you stay transparent and you keep excellent. I don't care. Even when I was in the big corporate world and then the startup world and the tech world, I don't care. All the worlds that I've been through, firefighting, communication is everything. If you stay transparent and you keep in touch with your posse or your community or whatever you want to call it, your customer base, just don't hide anything. Like, be truthful, be transparent.
We hide nothing. Even if, you know, and we're still small enough. I handle all the, you know, customer service stuff myself.
That I think is hilarious.
And you know, it is hilarious. Awesome. And you know, and sometimes, you know what, I fall behind like 3-4 days on customer service emails, and you know, people get upset with me, and I just, you know, when I get back to them, I say, I'm so sorry. Let's make sure that you're taken care of.
I will tell you, I consult for some of my clients, and I myself now use, for this podcast actually, I use a VA, a virtual assistant. I love it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know if you ever researched virtual assistant services, but
no, I really haven't.
The famous Chris Ducker is in the Philippines. He runs an entire virtual assistants company. Like, he's all the podcasters talk about them just for virtual assistants for any kind of business, but literally you just document whatever processes you want, implement them in documentation on like Dropbox, and then you decide what you want a VA to handle for your processes. That you're basically, that's a secret entrepreneurship, right? You build processes and systems, and then you find a way to automate them or find personnel to follow those processes, which then helps you stop working in your business so you can work on your business. Yeah. So I'm sure there's stuff that you're handling that you just eventually have to get to the point where, okay, if I document this and step by step, this is what is supposed to be done procedurally wise, great, I can outsource this for pennies on the dollar to a VA in the Philippines.
You know what? For us, I'm not ready to do that because I don't want to give up.
Not yet.
Yeah, not only that, it's just, you know what, sometimes the requests are so personal and they're so specific. It's, you know, I like to have that very personal connection. So if somebody, you know, calls me and says, oh, you know, I've been taking the magnesium and I need to know how to increase or how to decrease, how to change this, I want to give those very personal kind of answers.
Okay. And, okay. You know, I've got a
part-time assistant now. I've got a 20-hour-a-week assistant who's fantastic. And eventually,
is this one working?
He's fantastic.
I've heard all your jokes on the show about the past. What name are you calling this one?
Chip.
It's still Chip.
Yeah, his name is not Chip.
Okay,
his
but name is this Dylan. Chip round 4 or round 3?
This is Chip 3.0.
Chip
3.0. And this Chip, he's fantastic. But I'm still not ready to kind of like give that up because I want to have that connection. I want to be able to say, you know, I know, you know, how to solve your particular problem, your particular issue, and we'll go that extra mile. Eventually, I'm going to have to give that over, and I will have a dedicated, whether it's Chip or an additional hire, that's somebody that's like a full-time customer service rep. That's where we're going to have to get to.
Exactly.
We're not there yet.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. When that happens, who's to say you need a physical person there? That's this cool thing about virtual assistants, is that you can literally train them to be your front line. It's just they're virtual. And the cool thing is, depending on what you pay for, obviously, because it's pennies on the dollar because it's the exchange rate, you could literally have a team, because that way you've got basically, if you end up wanting to implement a 24-hour coverage, you could technically do that because maybe you're handling it during a certain time window and then they're handling it during off hours. And then all you have to do is go back over, let's say just your inbox. You just go back over and skim over what they did. And like, trust me, there is a lot of power in this. It's just getting people to that point where they're ready and then figuring out what processes you're willing to offload That way, maybe you just want to handle those specialized customer service stuff, but there's other stuff that you guys will eventually say, you know what, we could get this automated. We could hand this off.
You know, maybe, but my gut instinct is keep it local, keep it connected, keep it personal.
Even better, if you can find somebody local, perfect. I mean, a Chip 4.0.
Yeah, Chip 2, you know, I have a whole team of Chips.
Yeah, maybe Chip 3.0 changes, trains 4.0 and becomes like, Chip manager Chip.
Yeah. I can see that happening because Dylan is that good.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever be, become that company. I don't care if we become Centrum Big. I don't know if we'll ever become Centrum Big. I don't want to ever be that company that feels that detached, that you're, and this is no offense to any of our friends overseas, but when you go call a customer service line and you get somebody that's in a foreign country and you feel kind of disconnected and you feel like it's not
right.
Quite, you're not getting that kind of personal service and you're getting, and this has to do with the corporate culture in different countries too, where the training in some of those cultures is about a very scripted way of responding. And, we've all had those conversations where, you're asking a question and they ask you your name. And then every other sentence is, thank you very much, Scott. How can I help you, Scott?
I will definitely back you up. I spent many years in the call center industry in customer service before the firefighting. So, and I was actually a corporate coach for T-Mobile and then became a business analyst for their methods and procedures and managed a lot of their outsourcing relationships. But like T-Mobile, for example, the cell phone company here in the USA, they owned 11 of their own call centers. But then because of call volume, they had to outsource.
Sure.
But they made sure, because they wanted to keep it here in the States at the time, but they made sure that even the outsourcers, I would travel there and make sure we trained them on all. They were literally like another T-Mobile call center, but they just happened to be owned by somebody else. But they had to be trained on all of our culture, our methods, our procedures, our missions, our values. They were T-Mobile, just not officially T-Mobile.
Right, I get it. And I know
so to your point, that was important to them. That was very important.
Yeah, when I call a customer service and I get somebody who I can have a conversation with rather than this scripted thing, I breathe a sigh of relief. I tense up when I know that they're, and again, no offense to them, they're doing their jobs and it's a hard job and a thankless job. But as a customer, it's not fun for me to interact with that. And, for our product, I don't want ever for our customers to feel like the experience is that disconnected.
Oh, I like that. I mean, that literally is something that you guys will be able to, as you grow, weave right into your marketing process and your brand. I mean, that's something that's unique, right? A lot of companies don't care. They just hand that off as soon as they possibly can. So if you are going to stay pure like that, then that's, again, there's just, you guys could take so many things off of that word pure. It's going to be awesome. I mean, just what you're doing with your branding, and not just from the ingredient perspective, but how you're controlling the growth of the business and how, just like what you said, how you care about customer service and all of that. I think the purity behind that is powerful.
It's how we want to grow our business. It's why we've grown it slowly. It's why it's taken 2 years before I could quit my other job and devote myself 100% to this, which is like what was one of the most exciting days of my life.
That's not bad. 2 years? That's a pretty good ramp up.
It was 2 years from launch. It was a little over 2 years from launch. So
that's
almost
solid.
3 years from start. Yeah. To where I could say, you know what? This is enough now. I can quit my retire from my former career and devote myself 100% to my business now.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, this is a kind of business that, I was just out in San Diego 2 weeks ago to an event called Make Money Matter. And it was like one of the things, like famous people like Jack Canfield from, Chicken Soup of the Soul, all these famous speakers were there.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing because I never thought I'd ever see Jack Canfield speak. But every single one of them, 26 speakers, including him, all had the same message, is that, it's important to want to make money, but most importantly, what are you doing with the money? Are you creating a legacy? Are you making the money matter? And right. I I'm sure making the flip to this is something that this is legacy building. Being able to impact nutritional health, that's pretty powerful.
it's huge for us. I'm just going to give you one quick example, because I got an email yesterday from a customer who wrote me just specifically to tell me that his wife, who is a scientist, has always wanted to take magnesium because she knew that it would be good for her, for her sleep, for her, you know, other issues that she had. But every time she tried magnesium, it would give her heart palpitations.
Oh, wow.
And because she was a scientist, she did all the, you know, the elimination experiments. She did controlled experiments, like, I'm going to take this and this and the other and eliminate and make sure that it is the magnesium that is causing this. And she was able to eliminate everything else. Yes, it is the magnesium that is causing this. And he's a big fan of our products. And he said, you got to try this guy, these guys' broad spectrum magnesium caps, because they're fantastic. She tried our broad spectrum magnesium caps after years of wanting to take magnesium. She took ours. She's been on it now for a few months. No heart palpitations, sleeping better than she ever has. Never been able to accomplish this before. And he just wrote this us this email to tell us this, because it's made a huge impact in their lives. And that is like, when I get that email, that like makes not even my day, that makes my week. That's like the best thing. We have had a positive, serious positive impact in his life. We had another one also came in yesterday from a woman, has a 13-year-old kid, daughter, who has had constipation her whole life, her entire life of 13 years, gone after starting with our magnesium product.
Just with the magnesium?
Yeah.
Wow.
Gone.
That's crazy.
Her whole life changed. That makes, what you know, if we can have that kind of an impact on people's lives, and I've got a you know, 50 stories like that of people who have written me different things in ways that we have impacted their life while making a business. And look, we're not saints. We're not in this just to spread love and cheer. And, you know, we are in it to make money and make a nice career for ourselves. But if we can do that in a way that we are making an impact, helping people, creating that legacy, and feeling good about what we do, man, that's it.
Well, I mean, I can't pick of a better way to start helping bring our episode to the end. I mean, that's the message, man. That's, I mean, if all of us can eventually have something, it doesn't have to happen tomorrow to our listeners, but it's like, I think we all need to be taking lessons on that. It's like, what are you doing to create an impact in the world? And you don't have to go creating a vitamin.
No, but if you can feel good about what you're doing, that what you're focusing your energy on and what you're doing, you know, to enrich yourself. I mean, I'm not in this purely for my health. I want to make a living at this, and I want to succeed. And so does Vinny. And this is what we're doing. But we want to do it with that kind of integrity, where we can feel like we are making a positive impact. And, you know, Vinny, I have such reverence for Vinny, and it's one of the reasons we've been friends for so long. He helps so many people above and beyond what we do with Pure Vitamin Club. What he does for people.
Oh, he's off the charts. Yeah.
the way he changes people's lives and people, you know, because he's such a character. He's, you know, he's got such an edge to him. But
yeah, you know why? Because he's real. He's transparent. You know, he's got that down home Louisiana history. It's like he doesn't care. He says it how it is, and he's
says
not going to hold
is,
back.
And some people are going to be rankled, but he's got the best heart, and he will do anything to help people make their lives better. And he makes so many people's lives better. And I feel so good about having, you know, somebody like him as a partner.
Well, I mean, think about it. When I create it, it's funny because I have like a little e-guide that I give away on my website, you know, on livethefuel.com, and it's like, your podcast and his book are in my e-guide, you know, how to help, you know, basically helping people create healthy startups. Like that's in there. Like the podcast, the books, like these are all resources that I recommend. And you guys are in there because you clearly made an impact on my listening style. I don't listen to the FM radio when I commute in my car, when I go visit clients and I'm traveling. Like it's podcasts and audiobooks all the time.
Yeah, and that's why I love what you do, and I love the purity of your intent, and I listen to your podcast because I think it's great, and I think
plus we had Anna Vecchino on. I mean, she's amazing.
Well, come on, Anna. Let's not even start about Anna. We love Anna Vecchino and her incredible cookbook, Eat Happy, available on Amazon.
My mother Kindle just got her copy. I broke the Amazon rules. I contacted Anna directly. And I said, listen, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to write a nice little message to my mother and ship her a book, and I'll just pay you privately over PayPal. I know that probably doesn't help your Amazon sales or whatever, but just...
No, that's fine.
But because she was on the show, I have the inside connection. Man. So I had to do it.
have you cooked things from the cookbook?
Actually, my book has arrived, but it's sitting in my business mailbox. I've been traveling, so I haven't been able to go pick it up. So I bought the electronic version first, the one that goes.
All right.
Yeah. So I have used it. I've been waiting for the physical.
Pizza, the chicken and artichoke and tomatoes, and there's so many good things in there.
The best one is the chicken rice one, because it's not rice.
That's with the cauliflower, right?
Yeah, because it's all crumbled up cauliflower. That's the one that I tweeted, I Instagrammed. I blew that up weeks ago because I was like, wait a minute, it's Eat Happy. She can't have grain in a recipe, and I didn't even realize it was cauliflower until I opened it up on my iPad, and I was like, oh, okay, she's using cauliflower. This is awesome.
Yeah, she has a one of my favorite things in there is how to cook a fucking steak.
Again, love her transparency and her realist too. Yeah. I mean, it's her and Vinny. Dude, have you guys ever had an episode where all three of you were on it?
Yeah, we've done that.
I don't remember that one.
We've done that. The three of us together are out of control.
I was going to say, that might be a little over the top. I don't know. I can't remember which one.
We're kind of out of control. We did that on the radio show, the local radio show.
Oh, dear God. That must have been a quality entertainment.
It was out of control.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
If that's online... Are they saving the episodes like you can with the podcast?
They're all there. You can get all of them online. It's KABC AM radio. I'm not sure exactly what the URL is, but if you look up, KABC AM talk 790.
All right, because I'm going to Google that, and I'm going to purposely, when on one of my home office days here, I'm going to go find that because I want to hear one of the episodes with all three of you on it, because I'm sure it's
all
probably
three of
ridiculous.
Us are on that one episode. It aired last week, I think.
Okay, good. That's happening this weekend.
it's off the hook.
I tell people about you guys all the time. It's funny because I told Anna this. I think I'm the only, because Vinny's always hitting retweets on my tweets, because I'm the only one that literally uses the share button on the Stitcher app or the iTunes app. Like, I share the episodes because I want people to know about them. And I'm like, doesn't anybody else tweet there's a button on there, like, use it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So... It's funny because that's how I know Vinny's at least pay attention to me, because I'm the only one. He retweets every single tweet that I do because I'm sharing his, you guys' episode.
Well, we'll work on that this week. We'll set you and Vinny up because you got to have him on.
Oh my God,
and we have to have you on the Fitness Confidential. Let's get that set up.
That would be awesome. I would be honored. I'm just the new podcast, but it's
no.
I mean, let's get that. The biggest thing is I tell people. I'm all about health. I'm all about business. I'm all about lifestyle, right? Those are the domains. But our health is our true wealth. I can work hard and I can try and help build businesses and make money. But again, what is it worth if you're laying in a hospital bed and you're worth millions and you're just stuck there because your health is in the crapper?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I'd rather live.
So if you can combine the two, man.
Yeah. Plus, I'm a crazy adrenaline junkie. So if I'm not taking care of my body and treating it like a temple, I'm not going to be able to do the stupid, crazy stuff that gets me injured.
Well, you're a firefighter, man. You are an adrenaline junkie.
That was a life-changing experience. Yeah, those 2 years. You guys out west, man, you guys don't mess around. Like Cal Fire is crazy.
There's nothing like the fires we get out here.
No. Yeah. Your state burns like every year. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We're always on fire.
Yeah. I tell people, like, they should change the state name, like California. It's just fired up. I mean,
yeah, we are fired up. And I got to tell you, there's no class of people that I respect more than firefighters.
Well, and it's funny because I just aired an episode with a guy by the name. I met him out in San Diego the other week. He's a fire battalion chief for California. I think he's in San Diego. And his name is Rich Brocchini, but he's known as the firefighterpreneur. And that's part of his brand.
That's awesome.
He's got all these side entrepreneurial hustles, but he says he will never stop firefighting. He's like, I will work until I'm eligible to be retired. But he's a public speaker. He's a consultant to companies, channeling his firefighting background. And more importantly, he started a side hustle just like you guys did because he cared about something bigger. So, and I'm going to plug him on this because I love this. I wish I would have known about it before. He's got a coffee company called Third Alarm Coffee. And
wow.
Proceeds, you know, percentage of the proceeds is to help firefighters with cancer.
Awesome.
Because there's so many, especially city firefighters, because of going into old buildings, everything else, like there's a high percentage of cancer cases because of what they've gone through in their entire career. So he started
they have to breathe in.
Yeah. Yeah, in the wild end world, we don't get air masks and air tanks. We just breathe it all in. But it was definitely not a healthy job for those 2 years. When I finished that, that's what turned me into even more of a ridiculous, you know, health and fitness junkie, was because I found CrossFit doing the firefighting thing. But then the importance of nutrition after being fed what the federal government gave us was just crap. I mean, our fire camp food was terrible. We were eating MREs full of, you know, preservatives. Like, I literally finished my first year like at the same weight, only because I was inflamed from all the stress and the crap.
Wow.
And, like, I had to go through cleanses and everything else just to detox my body. Like, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. But yeah, life-changing experience, man. People who choose to do that for their life, according to Rich, he's like, we are still your brothers. He's like, you only did that for 2 years. It doesn't matter. He's like, you did one of the hardest jobs out there. I was thank you.
Yeah, I have more respect for firefighters and paramedics, man. Those are the two groups of people that I just have ridiculous respect for.
I can't do what paramedics and EMTs do, man. Like, I've dealt with blood and trauma. I've come up on car accident scenes, but I'm like, I will step aside when they roll in. I'm like, you guys are the heroes. Go for it.
Those people are unbelievable.
Yeah, especially in LA. You guys have crazy car accidents. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. It's nuts. So, well, listen, this has been awesome. I mean, like I said, I believe so much in your product, I put you guys on my resources page. So,
again, we really appreciate that. Thanks.
Well, you guys are doing it right. That's the most important thing. And I'm always trying to get people to use, you know, quality nutrition, whether it be isogenics or anything else, eat clean, eat whole, whatever. But I know that, listen, I grew up on a farm, and our nutrition is not the way it was. Our food is not the way it was.
Isn't.
We have to be taking, I'm a vitamin fan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, and it's like, if you're going to put something in your body, and that's another reason why I promote you guys.
Know what you're putting in your body.
Yeah.
Just know what you're putting in your body. Whether you're taking our product or somebody else's, just be very aware of what you're putting in your body.
Well, and to be fair, your product is a premium level product, and you guys are not charging a premium off the chart price.
No. Nope.
It's affordable.
We don't want it to be unaffordable.
Yeah. Which means low income families can afford this. That's the most important thing. Not just middle America, but low income America. You guys can afford it. If you're listening to this, you can afford their product. That's why I'm promoting it. Like, I have some high end stuff in my world, but I'm like, this is even more important. You guys are bringing a quality product to the market at a realistic price to be priced properly.
Our multivitamin winds up costing you $10 a month.
Yeah. It's stupid easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I like to, if you've listened to some of the other episodes, I've just really enjoyed this. This has been a great co-hosting session. I mean, I know we're way over an hour, and I don't care because people could just hit pause. But we've already talked a ton about, you know, obviously Pure Vitamin Club. People can go to purevitaminclub.com. You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on Instagram. I know they can follow you, obviously, on Twitter too, personally, if they wanted to, at Andy Schreib, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and again, guys, show notes, you guys know I rock the show notes. I have a great VA for that. So all of these links, everything we're talking about, his profile, the company's profile, you guys will be able to find all this on livethefuel.com when this episode airs. So, but again, the way I like to end our shows is because you're the co-host, you share the authority of this episode, and you've already shared great messaging from a company, but you as a professional, you as an individual, like, what is a message that you're trying to kind of leave behind as a legacy? What is something that's important to you that you're trying to put out there to our listeners so they can understand, like, who Andy is, man, and what you're all about? Is there a message? Is there a quote? Is there a lifestyle message?
It's really simple, and it's been the biggest lesson of starting this company with Finney and building it to what it is. And it's, if you can dream it, you can do it. Have no fear. Do it. You have the dream. Don't let anything stop you. Do it.
I love that. Well, guys,
that simple.
He just put it as simple as, like, even more simple than in every other quote that I've ever shared on this episode and what I put on social media. So, guys, that's Andy Schreiber. That's Pure Vitamin Club. That's Fitness Confidential Podcast. I mean, again, all this stuff is going to be shared in the show notes. I hope you guys were just as pumped as I was from this episode. Again, you guys have heard it before. I'll say it again. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. We definitely did that today. Keep living the fired up epic life, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.